May the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. It wasn't what he said, but it was the way that he asked it. You see, the organist of this traveling duo came to the visiting church and asked one of the congregation members, "Do you guys prefer the Picardy third at the end of our pieces?" Now, if you don't know what the Picardy third is, this is a music theory term, and you do hear it all the time when an organist plays music. You see, if the hymn that's being played is in a minor key, very often at the end of that hymn, the last chord will be changed into a major key. And you've probably heard this before if you're familiar with that. For instance, if you're in the key of A minor, the last chord will have a C sharp in it, just to make you feel better before you go out the door and on your way. Now, this actually was something that J.S. Bach would do, and many folks before him as well. But it was really the way that this question was asked by this traveling musician that caught the eye of the congregation member. You see, this traveling duo of pastor and organist slash worship leader had a great idea. There were so many churches that were vacant without a pastor to fill, so they were just gonna go on tour and they were gonna have one sermon and one order of worship that they could play and speak so that they could reuse this and that these congregations that were without a pastor could receive the word and the sacrament. But you see, what happened a week earlier was that the organist did not play the Picardy third. And the congregation was a little put off by that because they were used to hearing it at the end of their service. But what's even funnier than that is the reason why this organist did not play the Picardy third was because the congregation before that heard the Picardy third and did not want it. In fact, they said, "This is not a good thing. We really prefer our natural minor." Now, you can imagine, as a traveling duo traveling from California to New York Island and from everywhere in between, north and south, so it seems everywhere, they're getting very different receptions on how this is played. In fact, the Picardy third was not the only problem that they ran into along the way. You see, the pastor this day was wearing a polo shirt and khakis. And why was he wearing a polo shirt and khakis? Because the congregation before saw when he was dressed up. They said, "You know, Pastor, we appreciate you being here and receiving the word and sacrament from you is wonderful. But we believe that God wants us to come as we are. So we dress down a little bit." And the reason why he was dressed up that day was because the week prior to that, he was told that he wasn't fancy enough. In fact, he wasn't wearing a suit that day. And they said, "You know, Pastor, we think that you should bring your first fruits and that you should dress up and present yourself presentable to the Lord." So this was a challenge going from church to church with so many different opinions. So you see, it wasn't even 6 months earlier that this traveling duo of pastor and worship leader came up with this fantastic idea which would dominate the next few months of their lives. And it is a beautiful thing for these churches to have received the word and the sacrament. But the pastor and the worship leader, as they were putting together this schedule for the months to come, they thought, "You know, we'll get to do some traveling. We'll get to sightsee. I'll only have to write one sermon. You'll only have to do one service, and we'll be able to replicate that across many different churches. It's a win-win. I'll just reuse my sermon and the order of worship." And oh, the traveling pastor, knowing that this one sermon was going to be reused, did he write the sermon of his lifetime? This sermon was awesome. It had everything in it that you could imagine. It had the best humor. There was concern for people. The transitions were perfect. The structure was amazing. There were personal stories. There was emotion. It was provocative. There were theatrics. There was a lot of heart. There was passion. It was intellectual, and there were exegetical reflections. It was deep and introspective. I could go on and on. And also, the same thing could be said about the organist, the worship leader. He put together the perfect, perfect order of worship that you can imagine that could be reused. It had everything. So why all of this rejection? It seemed he couldn't get it right. If he wore a tie, he was supposed to not wear a tie. If he didn't wear a tie, he was supposed to wear a tie. The organist was supposed to play the Picardy third when he couldn't. They didn't know what to expect when they came to the next church. This day, however, went fairly well. And the pastor then, at the end of this day, went and collapsed on his bedroom in the hotel. And he prayed, reflecting on these past weeks, wondering why he was so rejected. And all of these churches and all of these different ways that it was received, they all kind of blur together. He remembers a little bit. Some wanted the Picardy, some wanted Natural Minor. Some wanted to wear casual clothes, some wanted him to robe up. Holy Schnikes Lutheran Church really liked jokes. Some wanted him to be happy. Wrath of God Lutheran Church really needed the law. Holy Smokes Lutheran Church really enjoyed their incense. Some liked him to walk around. Some liked him to stand in the pulpit. And that this very same sermon and this very same order of worship could be delivered in so many different locations and received in so many different ways, he was quite perplexed. But this one did seem to go well. And he realized, thinking of all these things, that he failed to fix the congregation's eyes on Jesus. He was concerned with a lot of detail, and he realized in this moment, as he laid crashing on this bed, that there is no one-size-fits-all sermon or one-size-fits-all pastor. Because all of the alls are all different, after all. They weren't received the same at all. Each church, he realized, needs someone specifically devoted and learning them, who they are, what they desire, what their sports teams are, or what they like to dress, or where they like to eat. The manner in which the message is delivered, and whether or not we will hear the Picardy third at the end of the hymn. In our text today, in Thessalonians, a lot has happened before Paul, Silvanus, and Timothy get to Thessalonica. They have a very difficult time in Philippi before they get there. In fact, we hear in our message, our text for today, that there's a lot of suffering that has happened here in Thessalonica as they're spreading their faith and the gospel throughout the nations. They're suffering, in fact, for their faith. They're rejected in many ways. But Paul expresses his thankfulness for their steadfastness and their love and joy in Christ as the surrounding nations are hearing about their faithfulness, and their faith is going out in the midst of all of the rejection. This vocation of pastor, and as we look forward here in this place to our calls and where we might be placed, it is this intersection of Christ connecting with humanity. He connects with humanity through baptism, as we hold fast to that here today. And he connects with humanity through the Lord's Supper, the preaching of his word, the hearing of the word spoken from the lectern as it's being read. We know that this is what happens here in this place. But what is important is the one of whom we speak, the one who truly was rejected, the one who truly hung on the tree, the one who, rather than being criticized for his garments, they just took them and cast lots for them. We know that in our various calls, we are representing this man, this God who became man. And God has a place in mind for you in your call. It may have difficulty. It may have suffering. or it may be the perfect fit. It may take some adjusting. There may be lots of controversy. But when you're placed at your church, individually, with your strengths and your weaknesses, get to know them, who they are. Live and breathe with them. God has placed uniqueness in you, which will serve the uniqueness in the place that he places you. And it may be the place you never thought would be right. So he laid on the bed, perplexed, this pastor. What is the conclusion of this story? Well, there isn't one. Because this story is yet to be written. The end of this story is yours. What will you do? How will you connect the Word of God and the truth preached in this place with your congregation? Will it be with jeans and a t-shirt? Will it be on the streets? Will it be with the Picardy Third? Will it be with jokes or professionalism? But what will be wonderful, as we hear in our passage today, is that there will be an opportunity to hear of the faith that is presented, and that this faith goes out one way or another. So you can tell me the end of this story. Maybe we'll get together at a Winkle sometime, or at a national convention or a district convention. Let me know what those challenges were that were placed in front of you, and how God used them to display his glory. So whether it's the Picardy Third, whether you're wearing a polo shirt or a collar, just be faithful. Live it out. So that it would be said of us, as we heard today, that your faith in God has gone forth everywhere, so that we need not say anything. For they themselves report concerning us the kind of reception we had among you, and how you turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God, and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, Jesus, who delivers us from the wrath to come. All praise and honor and glory and power and might be to our God who reigns forever and ever. Amen. And the peace which passes all understanding, guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus.